Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for London.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. We know you have a lot of options out there. If you want to, you can share this show with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression, or you can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you to our sponsors who make this show possible. Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Their services are available in Canada and the United States. And I'll tell you why you should take a look at this company. It's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high power law firms in your area. It just allows you access to a lawyer at a price that's very reasonable. How reasonable? $1 a day. $30 a month will get you in the door, get you access to an attorney that you have that you can contact whenever you need it. You'll have an app on your phone. If you have questions about your rights, you can reach out to them. If you have questions about a contract that your work wants you to sign, or you need a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, you need a last will and testament, they've got you covered for all of these things. And these things cost thousands of dollars if you go to a traditional law firm. You need them. You've got to have them. You don't want to get the state involved in your affairs after you die. So keep them out of that. Have a will and testament when you die. Hopefully it's not tomorrow. This will cover you, cover your family more than anything. It's not about you at this point. You're dead. It's about your family. So do them a huge favor and get the state out of your affairs. Divide up whatever you want it, however you want it done. But you have to have that stuff done legally, or else it's just not going to hold up in a court. Had people battling over it. So look, do this. Go to the website that they created for us and take a look and see if it's right for you. If you think it is, then like I said, it's very reasonably priced. It's reasonably priced because they have so many members that keeps the prices low. So go to the website, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Take a look at it for not just the Legal Shield, but the Identity Shield. The small business plan is available there. They have paperwork for you if you're a gun owner or a gun carrier. Look, the IRS wants to put 87,000 agents out on the street. It's not for the billionaire class, I assure you. It's to come get involved in your business. Now, that may not wind up happening after all, but look, just the fact that the government views you as the enemy, I think should tell you everything that you need to know. And of course, the IRS has nothing better to do than hassle you for trying to send $600 transactions through PayPal. So look, you have to have an attorney for all kinds of reasons, but this is another reason. So go to the website, don'tgetpushedaround.com. See for yourself. See if it's right for you. Also, thanks to Chemical Free Body. They are making the best supplements out there. I know because I take them every single morning and they work. And that's about the best I can say about that, is that in an industry filled with scammy people and shitty products that never really work, we've found a great company run by a fantastic guy, Tim James, who's been on this show more than anybody else and always gives us great free health advice that we appreciate. But he also has a company called Chemical Free Body, and they sell great supplements that actually do what they say they're supposed to do. So I'll tell you what, if you're in the market, if it's 2023 and you decided this is the year I take back control of my health because I'll be damned if nobody else is going to do it for me, well, go to Chemical Free Body and maybe do a little looking around and see what you find. If you find something you like, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. Maybe it's Pat Miletich's Super Soldier formula that you're looking for. That's a good thing. Maybe it's the Detox Bundle, which is gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, probiotics, and you mix that together with Green 85 in the morning, or well, you take Green 85, and then in addition, you add these capsules on. That'll thin you out. That'll thin you out for sure, because I did it and I had to buy new shorts. So, and I don't have weight to lose. I really just am fortunate in that sense. So that's chemicalfreebody.com, promo code MACRO. Save yourself a little bit of cash. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Sometimes you go out and read an article and it changes your mood for the day. And that happened to me. That happened to me yesterday. I was reading an article from a guy named Jim Quinn over at the Burning Platform. This article got picked up by Zero Hedge. And so Zero Hedge put it out. And I love Zero Hedge's stuff. I mean, I think they're really balanced and they show a lot of, they got banned by Twitter because they proposed the question about, hey, maybe there's something to this lab leak idea. And Twitter said, oh, you've got to go. You just can't be here. So I like them. They're not, you know, they're middle of the road, which makes them seem, I guess, conservative these days. I don't know. But I like what they're doing up there, and I think they do a good job. So I'm reading this article from Jim Quinn, and I'm going, everything about it is correct. I was angry about it not because it was a bad article. I was angry because it was a great article, and everything he was saying was true. So what was it? Okay, so he was talking about the Great Reset. He was talking about what that means. As far as, you know, the things we lost, the things that changed, the things that we're no longer able to do, the ways we're no longer able to think, because of what we went through with COVID. And it's, you know, I mean, I think everybody has COVID fatigue to an extent, you know, talking about it, thinking about it, but it really was the most transformational event in my history, in my lifetime, even more so than COVID. I mean, even more so than 9/11, because 9/11 brought it. Well, I don't know. I mean, they're similar, but in some respects. But 9/11 brought in like different laws, Patriot Act, wars. You know, it brought in this era of paranoia towards Muslims, and that was horrible, obviously, but I wasn't a Muslim, so I didn't bear the brunt of that. COVID brought in an era of not paranoia necessarily. Well, I mean, there was paranoia, but it brought in just an era of stupidity where there were so many people doing such recklessly stupid things, like sanitizing their grocery bags before they put them in their cart, or standing on a dot, or going one direction down the aisles of a grocery store. COVID broke people's brains in a way, in conjunction with the media, but in a way that 9/11 didn't. 9/11 was like traumatizing. It was like watching a snuff film. You know, you saw people jumping out of this building, and you empathized with them in a sense, and you thought, well, God, I wouldn't want to be up at the top of those buildings too, with all this fire, and you've got nowhere to go, and you're jumping out, and that must be terrible. And we were all sort of dragged into this ritual. And we were forced to watch it, and we were forced to watch it over and over again. And that definitely had a psychological toll, you know, on everybody. Everybody paid a price for that. But COVID was different. It required you to not just see somebody as the enemy, where at 9/11 said you have to view Muslims, they're all Muslim extremist terrorists, despite the fact that none of them can actually fly planes and they didn't do any of this, but you're supposed to feel that way. But with COVID, you were just supposed to feel angry, and so you're just supposed to be scared and really not know who to direct it at. It could be you. It could be the guy down the street who's not wearing the mask. It could be the person that refuses to stand on the dot or goes the wrong direction down the grocery store aisles. You saw that people didn't know where to direct their anger. You saw these hidden camera, you know, the videos of people that were filming out at Walmart where somebody's going insane because somebody else won't put on a mask and they're freaking out. And, you know, and people just didn't know where to, they were scared and they didn't know who to run to, and they didn't know where to show their frustration and their anger and their fear. And so they directed it at innocent people. And it was frustrating, but as a writer, it was fascinating, you know, as somebody that was being, you know, trying to sit on the top of the hill and write it all down as it was happening. It was wild. I don't want to go through it again. It doesn't matter what I think, of course, because if they want us to go through something like that again, we will go through it again. But Jim Quinn's article just really, really got to me. And he writes for the Burning Platform, and it's not the first time the Burning Platform has got on my radar as having an article that was put out on Zero Hedge that I read and went, God damn, these guys are good. You know, so I don't know anyone over there, but I like what you guys are doing for sure. And so it made me think, like, what has been sacrificed at the altar of the Great Reset? A lot, actually. A lot. Well, let's start with that. You know, let's start with sort of identifying some of these things, because as we drift away from that time period, it all feels like a mushroom trip or something. You know, you remember the bulk of it, but there's some things around the periphery that get a little foggy, and someone reminds you, and you go, "Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that." You know, so let's smoke the proverbial joint at the end of the mushroom trip and sort of kick back that experience for a little bit of time so that we can process it properly and get the most out of it, because COVID was a learning experience too. You know, it was crazy, and it obviously, you know, there were medical mishaps and poor messaging and mental illness on parade, but there were also some very fascinating things that we forgot about in the haze. It was like a fire hose of insanity, you know, and you're just thirsty and you just want a sip, but you can't get a sip in COVID because you were just getting bombarded with stupid directives and medical ideologies that weren't grounded in reality. And things like you have to wear a mask, but the box that the mask came in said that these masks don't work for coronavirus, but you had to put it on or you'd get thrown off of an airplane and a $50,000 fine and they'd arrest you. And if you were surfing out by yourself on the ocean, the police would wait for you when you came in with your surfboard so they could arrest you for not wearing a mask while you were out surfing by yourself. So it's like, nothing was anchored in logic or reason. It was just free-floating anxiety. And free-floating anxiety clicks up with out there in the world, and it no longer becomes free-floating. It becomes sort of like tribalistic insanity. And we saw this happen, especially on the left. And now I'm not a guy who's on the right. But if I'm keeping score of this, if I'm the referee and I look at who won and lost COVID, if there is a way to do something like that. The left definitely lost and lost badly. Their ideas were dumb. Their response when people pushed back to their ideas was to shut them up. The concepts that they thought were going to save COVID, like bulldozing sand into skate parks in California. You know, these are things that are, these are decisions that are made by authoritarian lunatics that don't know science. They don't understand. They don't care about science. They just want to be able to tell people what to do. And they also don't want any blowback from people saying you didn't do enough. And, you know, so they want to be able to say, why bulldoze sand into the fucking skate park? What else do you want me to do? And you go, well, I never asked you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to do something constructive, not putting 2x4s up across the basketball rims so that people can't play. You know, they were screwing these 2x4s to one another, going across the basketball rim so that you couldn't play basketball. And you go, oh, so we're stopping COVID from doing that? They're like, well, we just don't want people to play basketball. Like, why? Well, because if you get groups of people, then there could be a spread. Oh, okay. Is that really the reason? Or are you just trying to shut down society because you're petty authoritarians, you know? So logic and reason were sacrificed on the altar of COVID immediately. And they have to be. You know, you really have to, because if you're trying to keep some sort of scam, massive scam like this going, there's no place for logic and reason in this. Those have to be. It's like they say the first casualty of war is the truth. Well, the first casualty of a massive psyop is logic and reason. It has to be gotten rid of. You can't have people sitting around poking holes in the official narrative with things like, yeah, but it has a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80. Do you really think it's necessary? Are there a lot of 80-year-olds at the skate park? Do we really need to be bulldozing sand into the skate park? Because for kids, the survival rate is 99.9997%. So what the fuck are we doing here? So are we following science, or are we following fear? Or are we just trying to make people insane? So the science, real science, was most definitely sacrificed, had its heart pulled out. Fauci conducting this blood ritual took a bite out of the heart, showed it to the world, and said, I am the science now. You know, that's where we got to. I don't want to ever hear anybody ever again tell me to trust the science, okay? You can take trust the science and you can stick it right up your ass. Okay, because we were talking about science and you called us unhinged conspiracy theorists. You told us that we were anti-science. You told us that we were taking horse paste. You told us that we don't know anything about science and we shouldn't be allowed to talk about this. You had us removed from schools. You had us removed from airplanes. You had us removed from work. You had us removed from funerals. You had us removed from weddings, from hospitals. You had us removed from everything. Because you didn't like our version of science. And guess what? We were right and you were wrong. So where's my apology? Where's my apology from all the people that called me anti-science? How wrong was I? How wrong did I get this? And I'm not the only one, of course. Where's my apology from Scott fucking Adams, who is doing the best I think he can do to try to apologize for his behavior? But what I need you to do, Scott, is I need you to admit that when you called conspiracy theorists lucky for getting this right, that you were in fact just projecting. I need you to come clean about that, because I will not accept the answer of, I was wrong, I got this wrong, but you people only got it right because you were lucky. There was no luck involved, Scott. I wrote a book in 2017 detailing the criminality of the pharmaceutical industry. So I didn't get lucky with this guess that the pharmaceutical industry was corrupt and broken beyond repair. I have it documented in a 540-page book about it, okay? So there was no luck We didn't guess. We didn't go into a meditative state like Nostradamus and write a bunch of rhyming quatrains about what was going on. We said, this is the industry that you're talking about. These are the players in the industry that you're talking about. They're all convicted felons. Let's start with that. Let's start with the pharmaceutical industry being run by companies that are all convicted felons. Okay. And work backwards from there. So when you start from that place, you don't put Fauci on a pedestal. You put Fauci in handcuffs. That's where my starting point is. Scott Adams was, let's give this guy a chance, right? So science and logic were desecrated at the altar of COVID. Critical thinking was as well. It was replaced with herd mentality. And you know, the thing about the herd is that when you deviate from the herd, when you stray a little bit from the herd perceives you as a threat to the rest of the herd because you're now drawing attention to yourself. You're now saying, I'm not a part of that herd anymore because I don't want to go where they're going. I'm going off somewhere else. Now, the herd looks at you and they say, you're crazy. Why would you leave the security and safety of the herd to go off by yourself? And you may be thinking, because you're going the wrong direction. And I may have safety and security with the herd, but not if I'm going the wrong direction. So I'd rather go the correct direction by myself and take my chances than go down the drain with all you retards. You got it wrong. You got it wrong because you were never going to get it right. You were following the wrong people. That's lesson number one. Wake up and pay attention to who you're listening to. Don't take my word for any of this, okay? I'm just some dipshit who writes books and does podcasts and everything. I get a lot of things wrong, okay? Don't take my word for it. You can hear me, hear what I say. I love that. I appreciate that. That is the point of the show, after all. But double check it. Run it through your filter. See if it coincides or connects with what you think. Maybe it doesn't, and that's okay too. I'm not running for mayor here, you know? I'm just throwing these ideas out here. You know, a lot of people connect with them and some people don't, and that's okay. It's okay. You're not going to agree with everything I think. God, they'd lock you up and throw away the key if you did. So, but I think that some of these ideas that I'm proposing, some of the things that I see, I think a lot of people see. A lot of people in our sort of universe see this. And it's fascinating to me that other people, you can sit them right next to you, you can show them this same evidence and they just cannot see it. They just can't allow themselves to see it. But you've made the decision that you'd rather, you know what's really going on, even if that comes at a horrifying cost. And of course it does. I think integrity was sacrificed as well. You know, the banning of people, the banning of ideas, the banning of books, the banning of all these things, you know. I remember talking to Don Jeffries about this. I was just about to put out Hypocrisy, the third book. And you know, some of it, well, actually quite a bit of it was dealing with COVID. And I thought about having sort of a sub headline. I had it written a different way, as opposed to surviving in a world of cultural double standards. I had it a different way early on. And talking to other authors that had problems with books, I decided to not put COVID in the title. So like, you know, because I knew that there was a possibility that we were in a book burning mode where anything that had COVID in the title of in any way, shape, or form could be deemed as a threat and taken down. So I didn't put that in the title. But that's, you know, the idea that I had to even think about that is because of COVID. Personal responsibility, I believe, was sacrificed at the altar of COVID. It was, oh, I don't understand all this. This is too sciencey for me. I'm just a little old me. I can't figure this out. You tell me what to think, Dr. Fauci. You tell me what to think, Dr. Birx. You tell me, you know, Stefan Bonal, like over there, like which vaccine of Moderna should I take? Which one should I, which Pfizer, hey, Borla, which one of the Pfizer shots should I take? You know, their answer is going to be, you should take them all. You should take them on the schedule that we say you should take them at, on, and fill yourself up, because together we're protected, and you don't want to hurt your family, do you? And you don't want to let down your community, do you? And you don't want to be the weak link. So they preyed on your goodness. They preyed on your ability to want to help your family and to want to protect your community. And I don't want to get my friends sick, and I don't want to get my kids sick, and I am a good person. And they preyed on that because they're fucking bastards. And that's what they do. They prey, they're predators, and they prey on the weak. And you, in this scenario, are weak for caring about other people. It's not normal. And I don't think that you're weak because you care about other people, but they do. They see it as a sense of weakness and an opportunity to strike. You know why? Because they're predators, and that's what their job is. So I think that people need to take some personal responsibility for their own lives and not outsource your critical thinking to the guys that are the convicted felons over in Big Pharma, because they'll tell you what they want you to hear. And they'll tell you in a way that is very convincing. They didn't get to be the CEO of these companies for being dumb. They're very good at what they do. They're very manipulative. They have relationships with the government and the media. They pay the media a lot of money to say the right things about them. This is a massive industry. So I understand that you might feel like you're at a severe disadvantage by saying, I don't understand the science. I don't know all this stuff. What am I going to do? Am I going to come up with, am I going to dig into this and realize that Anthony Fauci was wrong? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, yes, that is your job. And that's why there are so few of us on this side that actually did the work, that actually said, well, I am going to check this out. I'm not going to just take Anthony Fauci's word for it. I'm going to check this out. So, a duty and obligation to the truth, that's gone by the media and anybody working in the pharmaceutical industry. They don't feel an obligation to the truth. COVID destroyed industries. It destroyed the healthcare industry. The healthcare industry is never coming back. You lost the healthcare industry when you put out the TikTok videos of dancing nurses. You sealed your own fate. I don't understand why people won't take us seriously. Really? What's with all the TikTok videos of dancing nurses? If the hospitals were overflowing and I wasn't allowed to go in there and see my dying relatives and everybody's going to die, why do you have all this free time to put together choreographed dance routines that were stupid and annoying and didn't make any sense and didn't help anybody out and didn't pass along any message, but they were just everywhere? Like a memo went out telling everybody to do this. And I don't know what was more concerning, the fact that everybody got the memo and decided to do it, or the segment of society that thought it was fun to watch that. I mean, like, if your search history shows that you're watching a bunch of TikTok nurse dance choreographed videos, but you're not doing it like ironically, maybe you should be rounded up. I'm just saying. Decency was sacrificed. Humanity was sacrificed. You know, I'm a nice person. I'm a good guy. I like to, you know, fuck with people from time to time when they deserve it, but I would never go on the offensive against somebody that didn't deserve it. Somebody that was weak or powerless or something, like, just to be a jerk. But I know a lot of other people would, because I saw it. I saw this on video. I saw this in reality. I saw it with my own eyes. I watched people treat other people like they were lepers, not leopards, but lepers, the kind that go to Molokai to have their arms fall off. I watched that. I watched police treat women who put their, you've seen the video of the Australian cop grabbing that woman by the throat because she refused to put a mask on. The crime of refusing to put a paper mask on that doesn't work was enough to get you choked out by a cop And people ask me, why do you have such strong feelings towards cops? Well, I don't know. Why do I? How many videos do I have to see of cops being complete assholes, choking people out, hitting people with batons, pepper spraying them, tasering them, shooting their dogs, shooting their family members? How many? How many times do I have to see that? Over what? What is the crime? Murder? Capital murder? What is the, what did this felon do that you had to come in here and choke out his entire family and shoot his dog? Oh, well, we got a call of loud music being played. Really? And you're at the wrong house. That's why I hate cops. Talk about an unthinking mob of people who lost their humanity during COVID. The entire police force of the United States needs to be retrained. They need to get rid of the Israeli trainers. They need to start from the beginning and retrain all the cops in America to realize that the public is not the enemy. And you may have the 1033 program and you may be loaded up and dressed like you're in war and with have the guns like you're going to war and the mentality that you're going to war. But guess what? You're out on the streets in Flint, Michigan, and you're not at war with us. You work for us. You work with us. You're part of our community. Don't ever forget that. And I'm not going to allow COVID to be the excuse. Well, mistakes were made. This very Rumsfeldian philosophy of, well, mistakes were made during COVID. It was the fog of the COVID war. Wasn't foggy on my end. Funny. The mistakes were all made by your end. Funny how we in the alternative media, we were getting it right from the beginning. It's almost like we were trying to get it right and you guys were trying to get it wrong. Friendships and families were destroyed over this. Straight up. Think about it in your own life. How many friends do you have that you just found out how close your friendships really are over the last 2 years? I thought we were cool, but you know, when you slated me to get put on the boxcar and resettled in the East, well, then you can go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? When you called for me to be lower class citizened out of existence, to have my kids banned from school because they were dirty, diseased, anti-vaxxers, they're all going to get you. When you pulled that shit, you lost friends forever. So, friendships were destroyed. Families were torn apart. Even families that agreed with each other were torn apart. Like when you had to go hug your grandpa, say goodbye as he's dying in a hospital. And well, first of all, you weren't even allowed in the hospital. But if you were allowed in the lobby, then you had to hug him through some plastic sheet in some contraption. Unacceptable, unforgivable, unforgettable. How much of our freedom? Let's talk about that for a second. Was sacrificed at the altar. Freedom of speech, freedom of medical autonomy, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, not just in your own verbalizing, freedom of speech online. We saw that taken away. We saw that in the Twitter files taken away by the feds. Direct orders to Twitter. Not that Twitter had a problem with it. They were more than willing to delete all the people that they didn't like. But they were getting requests from the federal government. And then they were later told that those requests were going to eventually become orders. All of this, let me remind you, all of these things, all the death of logic and science and critical thinking and integrity and personal responsibility and our sanity and our freedoms and our decency and our friends and family and all this money and all this stuff was sacrificed for a virus that is so deadly that you had to get tested just to know that you actually even had it. A virus so dangerous that it has a 99.98% survivability rate in a median death age of 80 years old. The median death age in America pre-COVID was 79. You should be so lucky. You get an extra year thanks to COVID. But the television broke people's brains. You know, you were gaslighted by the media constantly. I'm not giving people a pass on this. Okay. I want to be fair. I want people to be held accountable. They should need to watch their own behavior over the last 2 or 3 years in a very defending your life sort of way. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that movie. It's one of the greatest movies ever made with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep, Defending Your Life, where he goes to like purgatory, right? In between earth and heaven or wherever. And he has to go on trial to defend his life. And the defense of his life has to do with how many times did you show fear? And what did you do in the face of fear? And it's a comedy, right? And it's a really well done movie and it's fucking hysterical, man. I mean, the whole movie is great. But if you were forced into a defending your life moment where you had to sit and defend your actions over COVID, could you do it? I could. I have no problem defending my actions over COVID. But there's a lot of people in this world that would fail the test. They would get sent back. For failing the test in the movie, you got sent back to Earth and you had to go through your life all over. You had to live again. You had to get reincarnated. For winning, you got to move on. You didn't have to go back to Earth. That should pretty much tell you everything that you need to know about this hellscape prison planet that we live on called planet Earth that may or may not be curved. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't want to start any controversies here. Look, we got dancing nurses, we got donuts, and we got propaganda. That's what we got. Those were the answers to our questions of how are we going to get ourselves out of this? We're in this situation. Let's put the fear aside. What's the strategy? How do we get ourselves out of it? The solutions that were offered to us in our time of need were Krispy Kreme donuts, TikTok dancing nurses, laps around Talladega Speedway, and bulldozing sand into skate parks. Those were the solutions to our problems. And you wonder why I speak at anarchist conventions when the solutions are all from solutions, air quotes, are all from government agencies and they're all dumb. Well, the dancing nurses weren't technically from government agencies, but they were still dumb. Look, part of the reason why it's important to rehash this, and a lot of people may say, well, we've been through COVID. We were there. We lived it. We don't need the recap. I get that. I fully do. And you probably don't need me to go through. I mean, I'm not going to go through. I do not have an Alex Jonesian style of notes for this. This is an easy one. It's just 2 pages, right? Because we were there and we saw it and we lived through it. And we know, for the most part, we know what happened. Like I said, kind of forgot some of the stuff around the edges, but now you remember it and you have a good laugh. But the reason why I think it's important for us to recognize the psychological operation that happened to us and get very honest that we were part of a psychological operation and to be familiar with the tactics and to recognize the way the propaganda was delivered and who delivered it and how they did it. And it's important for us to study this because we're going to be seeing it again. Okay. You're going to be seeing the same, maybe not exactly in, with the same characters, but you know, Hollywood loves a remake. And you'll get COVID-2 Electric Boogaloo at some point, right? And it may be virus related, but more than likely, the same tactics that were used to psychologically traumatize and reprogram the society for a virus with a 99.98% survivability, you know, one of those invisible enemies out there, is most definitely going to be used the next time around when they're trying to scare you about another invisible enemy, which is climate change, okay? The climate change lockdowns are coming. They're coming. It sounds crazy now, but get in your DeLorean and go back to 2019, and I tell you that COVID lockdowns are coming, you'd tell me I was crazy then too. They're coming. Extrapolate out. Think of what you see right now. Think of the lockdown, the normalization of lockdowns that happened. Think of how the media operates. you're already starting to see 15-minute cities in the UK. I talked to Richie Allen about this. When you talk about, you know, this idea that, well, you know, you don't need to be driving all over town, right? We'll keep you within this 15-minute city. What do you need outside of this 15? You've got everything that you need here. I mean, if you don't like it here, we can move you to the line in Saudi Arabia where you'll have everything within 800 meters of you. It'll be even closer, you know, because it'll be a prison. This is where they want to take us. So the reason why it's important to kind of relive COVID a little bit is to remind yourself of the tactics that were used because you're going to see them again.
Okay.
Government dictates from idiots, losers, grifters, pedophiles, and liars. That's who gave us the message of COVID. Those types of people. You'll see it again for climate change. It'll just be a new batch of people, but there'll be a Fauci character. Maybe it's Al Gore. Probably not. Do you see Al Gore's rant at Davos? He's out of his fucking mind. Best friends with Ken Lay from Enron, who may or may not have actually died from a heart attack after receiving a 25-year sentence. I think Jeff Skilling's out of prison now. Or he should be close. He went to, those guys did 25 years of federal time, which means you have to serve 85%. Well, Ken Lay died. Allegedly, or he's at the same Club Med where Jeffrey Epstein is and all the people from MH370, wherever they're in some episode of Lost somewhere. I don't know. Look, we've got, what did we get for our sacrifice is the question. Well, we've got $31 trillion of unpayable debt. Did that help? We had 80% of all dollars in existence being printed during COVID. So don't tell me we didn't get anything out of COVID. We got hyperinflation out of it. You're welcome. And a push for CBDCs, you know, a push for that, because they're going to say, well, we've got this hyperinflation and it's destroying this dollar, and the dollar is a dying system because we've killed it. And we're going to have to move on to something else because we got to give all you people universal basic income. You want free money, right? You don't get free money for free. You do have to do something. You have to get a digital wallet and you have to accept it in the form of US digital dollar coin or whatever it's going to be called, Fed coin. So we're getting that. We're getting unprecedented inflation. Obviously, that's a byproduct of printing 80% of all dollars in a two-year period. Funny how that happens. You get massive unemployment, and the figures are horseshit. Of course, we know that. The figures that they're showing, they're like, Joe Biden's like, oh, I've done a great job in my administration. I've got unemployment low levels. Like, listen, your unemployment numbers, multiply them by 4. Okay, that's what they really are. Stop trying to lie to us. They think we're so stupid. They roll out these numbers and they're intentionally low. I mean, you have to do some sort of calculation in order to just kind of get to reality. So whatever Joe Biden's unemployment figures are, multiply them by 4. If he says it's 5%, it's 20%. And, you know, what else did we get for our sacrifice? Well, we got mass formation psychosis. We got introduced to that term. And I think a lot of people maybe didn't know what to call it. It's like I know it when I see it, but I didn't know it had a name. It's the clicking up of everybody into the herd with a shared belief system in general, but maybe just a shared belief. This is what got you the NPCs that you see. This is the mainstream media. This is, it's the Jedi mind trick of getting you to believe things that aren't really true. As my cat navigates the soundboard and I hope doesn't step on the button. So what happened in this mass formation psychosis? Well, it was the complete removal of common sense from the equation. It just, again, like I said, critical thinking, logic, all that has to be disarmed first. Think of it like you're breaking into a house. The first thing you need to do is you need to figure out where the burglar alarm is and disarm it, right? The first thing you need to do when you're running one of these scams is find where the critical thinking and logic component is and disarm it. Turn it off. Because if you've got those things going, the scam's going to be really difficult to pull off. So this is why we got, as a result of the mass formation psychosis, you get no common sense, no ability for self-reflection, no internal monologue, no willingness to understand that they've been had, you know, no comprehension that they could have possibly gotten this wrong, no ability to comprehend mathematical statistics like 99.98%, things like that. There's a barrier that comes down and it shuts off everything external to the mass formation messaging, you know. And look, let's talk about one of the things that it also did. It turned off the logic, critical thinking, and reasoning component of the brain, but it activated a different component of the brain for a lot of people. It gave them purpose. It gave a lot of people that really have no purpose. And whenever someone says no purpose, I immediately go back to the movie The Jerk when he's like, I've got a special purpose. These people did not have a special purpose before COVID, but COVID gave them a special purpose, right? They were able to go out there and save their neighborhood, save their family, save their friends, save their neighbor. They had too many cars in the driveway over on Thanksgiving. I saw they had cars in the driveway. They had them on the sidewalk. They even had some across the street. They were parking down the street. They must've been having a party. So I called the police. You bet I called the police. I called the police right away because we can't have that super spreader event. This is the mentality, right? It gave people with no purpose a special purpose, like Navin fucking Johnson, okay? Riding around talking about their special purpose. So this is the reason why I think it's important. Again, take the COVID cult behavior, and that's a regional thing. I'm protecting me, my family, my immediate vicinity from certain death. That's COVID, right? Take that. And now remove the COVID chip from the NPCs and insert climate change chip into the NPCs. And now think about it. Now it's, I'm not just saving me. I'm not just saving my family. I'm not just saving my neighbors. I'm saving the world. I'm saving the entire planet. I've never done anything with my life. I've just been sitting at home reading comic books all day long. Haven't had a job. Can't live in the basement with my parents. I've got nothing going on, but now I'm going to save the world. And I better not see you using a gas-powered weed whacker, or so help me God, I'll call the police or I'll shoot you or whatever. Okay. That's why I'm talking about this, because the same mental illness traits that we saw during COVID are going to reappear under the climate change guise, and it's going to be a real problem for us. We saw corruption across all of our industries during COVID. I mean, undeniable: banking, medical, media, defense industry. It was exposed for what it is. Just outright corruption everywhere. Think of how corrupt the mainstream media is. You know they're my number one target, but think of how corrupt they are. They know that the world, I mean, not, maybe not anymore, but and certainly not our little world, but the world was going to look to them to figure out how to behave in the era of COVID, right? We don't know much about this. It's March 2020. Things are sketchy. We're starting to get information in. People are starting to get sick on the other side of the world. We think it's coming here. What do we do? What should we expect? The media had an opportunity to be a shining light on the hill and to say, first thing we need to do is not panic. We need to be reasonable. They didn't do any of that. Of course they did. I'm not saying I expected them to do any of that. They just, because my expectations for the media are very low. And so they did what they do, which is use, never let a good crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel says, right? So they use this event as the justification to go to breaking news all the time and to scare the shit out of you and to tell you, you know, to have a running death count at the bottom of the, you know, the bottom of the screen that was showing that number of COVID deaths every day. Why didn't we do this for obesity? Are we're so concerned about humanity? Why don't we have a running counter at the bottom of every news broadcast every day showing how many fatties have dropped today because of ding dongs and Twinkies and smoking and drinking a 12 pack every night? Where's that epidemic statistic? Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you don't care about that. So it's not about humanity. Okay, let's just get that out. It's not about humanity. It's about control. So we watch this corruption. We watch the corruption in all of these industries. We weren't surprised by it, of course, but we watched it. And what else happened in the wake of this? Well, we got pushed closer to World War III. You know, we saw that because of everyone's insistence on standing with Ukraine. Again, nobody would think to stand with Ukraine if they hadn't just come off of standing on a dot 6 feet away from everybody else. It's dog training. You know, they could have very easily asked us to sit with Ukraine. And everyone would have would be a good boy and would have just sat there until told to, you know, stay. Okay, now you can come. You know what I mean? This is where we are. We watch social media become a battlefield. I mean, a good case can be made that it had always been a battlefield, but normies, NPCs, and the government versus, humanity? Sanity? Decency? It was narratives versus actual ideas, right? We saw a lot of bad stuff during that. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the enemy of humanity. Let's talk about who was really driving this. Because again, you're going to see the people come back for a repeat because Hollywood loves a sequel. And so expect to see the World Economic Forum. Again, we know this. The United Nations, the World Health Organization. It might be a different health emergency. You know, it might be something totally different and definitely scary, like monkeypox. They tried. You know, failure to launch monkeypox. Again, ask yourself the question, why were they in such a hurry to make you scared of something that isn't scary? Isn't the object to calm everybody down? If you're trying to calm everybody down so that we can be reasonable and logical and orderly as we get on the lifeboats of this sinking ship, why wouldn't you be calling for calm? Instead, what they want you to do, they wanted you to be afraid. They wanted you to be panicked. They wanted you to fear monkeypox, a virus so dangerous that they stepped on their own dicks by saying, it's monkeypox and it's definitely going to kill everybody, but we're not racist. We're not racist for the name. And everyone's like, nobody said you were. Do you have some sort of internal undiagnosed racism that you'd like to discuss about this monkeypox thing? Because none of us said it was racist. You guys all did. Would you like to discuss it? You know, there is humor in all this insanity. You have to look for it. You have to pull the peanuts out of the elephant shit, so to speak. But they're there. Look, we're going to see more of these people. We're going to see all the groups that were involved in this because they're the globalist organization that wants to destroy society and rebuild it a different way, a way in which they control. So whether it's COVID, whether it's fake global warming, whether it's a future alien invasion that will be, you know, made up for the purposes of scaring the shit out of people, just understand that there is a process to this, and that it always is going to involve the CIA and NATO and FBI and CDC and the Food and Drug Administration and Department of Justice and the Internal Revenue Service and the Pentagon and the media and the Gates Foundation and, of course, the experts. It's always going to have the experts. The experts are always going to be, what is this expert? Oh, we're joining us on the line is so-and-so, expert in blah, 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 blah. Come on and tell us. Well, you definitely have to be afraid of the blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, you're just trying to scare us because people give away their rights and turn their brains off when they're scared. They make short-term decisions. as opposed to long-term decisions. It's very odd. This is just rudimentary level sociology. Okay. So if we know the plan, and the plan works whether, like I said, whether it's COVID or climate change, the plan is still the same. The framework is still the same. The boogeyman, the invisible enemy, well, it's still invisible, but it's a different invisible enemy, and it's definitely going to get you. But the solution always involves a removal of your rights and a paying of more money in taxes to some institutional body that's going to make the invisible thing go away, whether that's carbon in the atmosphere, which we need, or viruses that come out of laboratories. So get ready for more fear the next time around, and uncertainty, and reshuffling of priorities, and expert opinions, and, you know, silent weapons for quiet wars, and fake stats, and fake science, and false information, and confusion, and all these things. I mean, it feels like we are at a crossroads for humanity right now. Where do you want to go? Do you want to live in a world where everything is fake, or do you want to live in a world where everything is real? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get to the world where everything is real, because right now everything is so artificial. You know, the outrage is artificial. The people on social media are probably not even real. The opinions are manufactured by focus groups and think tanks. We're being proposed options, solutions to our problems that involve us medical assistance in dying. Okay. That's where we are as a society. You have a broken leg, having a bad fight with your girlfriend? Oh, we've got some options for you here in Canada. Yeah. Oh, hey, listen, on top of this, I have to bring it up in case you were curious. We do offer medical assistance in dying if this heartbreak is just too much for you, or this sprained ankle is really going to fuck up your Friday night. I mean, we can always kill you. 10,000 people took Canada up on their offer last year. It's a booming industry. We wind up in this world where it's like current artificial society versus authentic humanity. You know, society is, with COVID, the mask came off. We were able to see what these people really want and who they actually are and how they really think about you. You know, tough decisions were made and some people had to let go. Like, they want everybody dead, right? So this artificial society that we're living in is completely devoid of honesty and integrity and personal responsibility and trust and authenticity and curiosity and education and safety and all these things. You know, it's all those things that matter, that make life interesting and worth living. They want all those things gone. Instead, they fill it with corruption and narcissism and materialism and assumptions and regulations, and everything's synthetic. Nothing about it feels real. Nothing about it is what we want. We're arguing with people about stupid shit while the important things aren't even allowed to be discussed. Consume more. You're not worrying about the crisis enough. I told you to stand with Ukraine, for fuck's sake. Why aren't you still doing that? I mean, we told you. How much simpler do we have to make it? I told you who to hate. Will you just please hate them? You're not hating them enough. And I need you to give the other side money. And yet maybe you're not going to have heat this winter, but it's a small price to pay for knowing who to hate, isn't it? We live in like a digital Potemkin village right now, where you're like Truman Show, where you're looking around the corner and you're like, it kind of looks real, like the way a building looks in a dream. But then you go around the corner and you go, I feel like I'm on some sort of soundstage somewhere in like Panorama City or someplace. You know what I mean? Like, am I in Burbank? Have I wandered onto the soundstage of life? Because I think I see craft services right over there, right out of the view of the camera, but I'm supposed to be only in the place where I'm on the stage, but everything feels fake and all the lines I'm supposed to read don't make any sense. I think a lot of people feel this way. Against our will, have been cast as extras in the most insane science fiction movie ever that doesn't have a very well-written plot. And you just keep going, can you just end this fucking movie already? I'm so tired of it. But then you know that there's part two coming. You know it. I mean, we're getting incrementally pushed closer to World War III and an economic collapse. And I'm supposed to debate some asshole who thinks he's clown gender? I mean, I've got to prioritize my anger here. This is not a very good use of my energy and time to argue with these people. And I think you probably feel the same way on some level. Like, I'll do it if I have to, but I don't want to have to shake people out of this and say, it's all fake. It's all being manufactured. I feel like it's time for everyone to stand up for themselves. It's time for everybody to wake up to this or not. But like, if you're drifting through life half conscious to what's going on, what is it going to take to wake you up? Is it the fact that the Empire has decided that they're going to ban wood-burning furnaces? Is it that the Empire has decided they're going to ban gas stoves or ban gasoline or ban free speech or ban vehicular movement or ban meat or ban cash? How long are you going to sit on the sidelines with your head up your ass until you wake up to what's really going on? They're banning all of the things that you want and need. Are you going to do anything about it? Or are you just going to sit there and eat the bugs? Because I'll tell you what, if your decision is to sit there and eat the bugs, good luck to you. You get everything you deserve. If you refuse to stand up to these people, you're going to get what you deserve. But I think there's a segment of society that is waking up from this stupor slowly. And I think it's the vaccinated. I think there's a segment of the vaccinated that are going through all of the phases of awakening in a condensed timeline. And it's really a lot for them to handle. If there is somebody in your life that has taken the shots for whatever reason, they thought they were going to help, they were coerced into doing it, they wanted to trap, whatever the reason is. And as long as they weren't authoritarian dickheads and trying to tell everyone that they're going to die unless they take them too. Like, if they just got convinced to take them and they're starting to wake up, my advice or my request would be, with those people, be patient, because it's a lot to process. And if you're listening to this, you've gone through that process at some point where you've said, I just don't think that the world in which it is presented to me makes a lot of sense. It seems fake. I want to figure out what's really going on. If you've had those thoughts and you found your way to shows like this, you're way ahead of those people. It's not a contest, to be fair. You just started earlier than them. They may lap you. They may pass you. They may wake up and it might be the one thing. So you know, there's room for everybody on this bus. But if you're just waking up to this because you took the vaccine because you thought you were helping, and now you have some real questions about it, you're going to go through all the phases: confusion, denial, anger, depression, anxiety, neuroticism, acceptance. Ultimately, you'll get to acceptance. I accept the fact that I injected myself with gene therapy. For whatever the reason, I was duped. I didn't want to do it. Whatever. I did it anyway. What does that mean? What is the price you pay for that? Well, I'm not going to tell you the price that you pay according to Dr. Robert Malone, because you'll have no hope. So I will say that your hope comes in knowing that they'll never pull this on you again. And maybe this is going to be the wake-up call for you. Jim Quinn from this article that sort of got me down this path said, we are in the midst of a fourth turning where reason and critical thinking are far outweighed by emotion and temporary insanity. And I think Jim's right in this. I think this article was fantastic. It got me very angry and made me motivated to want to talk about it so that people don't fall into this trap anymore. Because it's coming again, you know. Unfortunately, we sort of know that. And you know, and like I said, it's probably going to be climate lockdowns. It's definitely climate change related. But you'll see this sort of methodology. Media gets involved. Expert opinions come out. Government reinforces it. Decisions are made. Money's thrown at the problem. This is the, you know, trust the science. The science is settled. How dare you question the science? You're anti-science. You might even be anti-human. You might even be, you're anti-American. You see this process. You've been through this process. You thought it was just for COVID. What I'm trying to remind people is that the mechanics of this process work for all kinds of things. We just happen to experience it with COVID. We're going to see it again with climate. We'll probably see it again for some other invisible enemy that'll be coming our way. Just remember this, that the goal is demoralization of the people, like Yuri Bezmenov said, and also the destabilization of society so that we will let it all go and that they can remake it in their image. That's just not a plan I'm willing to get on board with, and I doubt you are either. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions or go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.